We're continuing today in the studies in Isaiah, and we're back at chapter 46. And we've been covering how that Isaiah's focus was on God's sovereignty and how that there was none beside him. He says, "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs which I carry will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you." In the 10th verse he says, "Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not, and done, saying..." I'm going to start over. "Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it." You know, God is the master of the universe. God is in control of all things, and if he makes a decree or he states a decree, then he will bring it to pass. In the 47th chapter, the 4th verse, he says, "As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel." In chapter 48, the 3rd verse, he says, "I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them, I did them suddenly, and they came to pass." Verse 5, "I have even from the beginning declared it to thee before it came to pass. I showed it thee, lest thou shouldest say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image, and my molten image have commanded them." You know, it reminds me of those self-esteem artists called self-actualization who say, you know, you can become self-actualized if you plan out your life and you set goals and you do all of these you do all of these things, you can pretty much accomplish anything that you set out to do. It reminds me in the New Testament where the gentleman said, "I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns." And God said to him, "This fool, thou fool, this day thy soul will be required of thee." You know, we can't take a breath. We can't take the next breath without God's will in the matter, without his allowing that to happen. He says in the 10th verse, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? I will not give my glory unto another. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I called unto them, they stand up together." And then he concludes that chapter with a real interesting verse. This is the 48th chapter, verse 22. "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." We alluded to that yesterday. They're saying peace and safety. And another passage says, "Sudden destruction will come upon them." You know, we're seeing now this rise of chaos in Iraq. George Bush has continued to allow people in his administration that have absolutely no moral authority. They are blatant out-of-the-closet homosexuals, a number of them. And he purposefully has chosen to make sure that he compromises with that lifestyle and with that agenda. And then he thinks God is going to reward this country. He thinks God is going to bless this country. He calls. He gets up and says nothing can separate us from the love of God when he's in in vile wickedness. And here it says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Moving on, in chapter 49, the fifth verse, it says, and now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord. My God shall be my strength. And verse 15, can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. And he, in chapter 50, verse 6, he says, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And we're moving along now. In chapter 51, verse 11, he says, therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Verse 15, but I am the Lord thy God, that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. We allude to the fact yesterday that God has chosen for himself a remnant of people out of the mass of creation that he created, to be a particular people unto himself, to be a chosen people, to be chosen vessels. And people don't want to believe that today. People want to believe that we're all God's children and that God loves everybody and that everybody's going to eventually make it to heaven. And now we even have Billy Graham denying that there's actually a real hell. He thinks that that's just separation from God. There's probably not any actual fire and brimstone there. Reminds me in 53rd chapter, the way it begins there in the first verse, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, that we should, when we shall see him, that there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. This means his message too. His message is despised today. Someone gets up and talks like I'm talking right now about particular redemption. People don't want to hear that. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But for his elect, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And with the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Notice that right there. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He wasn't stricken for the transgressions of those that were not his people. He was taken verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich is in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make him a soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. He uses that term many throughout this passage, and the fact that he died for the transgressions of his seed is a very important distinction to those who preach a different doctrine. Chapter 54, verse 5, he goes on and says, "For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called." You know, he's the God of the whole earth, and he's the Redeemer of his people. All things were made by him and for him. There's nothing that was made that was not created by him. Verse 17, he's speaking here again to his elect. "No weapon that formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." There's a lot of people that don't want to give God the glory for their good works. You know, there's a lot of moral people in the world that try to live a good life, and if you ask them, you know, what they believe, what's their faith, and so on, they say, "Well, I'm a pretty good person. I try to, you know, do what's right, and I try to love my neighbors myself, and I don't hurt anybody. I don't steal. I don't cheat. I don't lie. I don't do any of these things." Even though the Scripture says that there's none righteous, no, not one. The Scripture says that let God be true and every man a liar. Well, this passage says, "This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." The only reason that anyone has any righteousness is that they have the righteousness of Christ, because of what we read in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him, and with his stripes we are healed. So that's the only righteousness we can look to. Going on to the 55th chapter of Isaiah, beautiful passage. First verse, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and ye that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Verse 5, "Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that know not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. We see in chapter 57, verse 15, it says, For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Verse 19, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. In the 58th chapter, we see something that's really interesting. There's many people today that don't want to hear the truth of the gospel. The gospel is good news for those who hear the gospel. The gospel is good news only to those who believe the gospel. To state it another way, the gospel is only good news for God's elect. It's not good news for those who are not going to receive the gospel. The first chapter, the 58th chapter, the first verse of the 58th chapter of Isaiah, makes that pretty evident. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sin. There's no way that anyone's going to be able to show the reprobate his sin or their transgression, because the reprobate is proud of their sin. They're not going to acknowledge that they have transgressed the law of God. Verse 2, Yet they seek me daily and did not delight to know my ways as a nation, and did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to the Lord. So that's the distinction there. Those who are going to live in obedience to God, and those who are living in open disobedience. But in verse 59, chapter 59, verse 2, But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongues have muttered perverseness. None calleth for righteousness, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Verse 7, Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We will wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places, as dead men. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. Isaiah is laying out there what every person who is one of God's elect will experience in their life when they sin and they turn away from God. And the remedy? verse 14, and the judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. And verse 16, and he saw there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Verse 20, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Chapter 60. Arise, shine, for light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Verse 19, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall give thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Mourning, not M-O-R-N-I-N-G, but O-M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, mourning. Chapter 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to point unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Verse 8, for I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery, for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Those are two very beautiful, beautiful examples of God's special love to his people. Chapter 62, verse 1, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof goeth forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Verse 6, I have set a watchman over thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Verse 11, behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. Wow. That is really, every time I read that, I'm amazed that there can actually be people that believe that, that all people, that God loves everybody, and that it's not a distinctive love. He says that these people are going to be called out. And they're going to be called a holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. They're going to be sought out. They're going to be like a city that he's never going to forsake. In the next chapter, the 63rd chapter, he says in the 8th verse, fifth verse, "And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me." Verse 8, "For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie, so he was their Savior. 11, "Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him?" You know, the Old Testament saints have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ just like the New Testament saints. God put his faith to believe in his Son in their hearts. He regenerated them. He put on the breastplate of righteousness for those Old Testament believers. There's nothing has changed in salvation. And we see that in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. One time a gentleman says, "You can't find faith in the Old Testament." And the dispensationalists try to teach that there's, I don't know, three different ways to God. I don't know how many ways to God. That's why they come up with all these dispensations of grace. But you know what? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. They were looking forward to the Messiah. We look back to the Messiah, but the Messiah was slain before the foundation of the world. Before the world was even created, a covenant was struck between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that Christ would come. The 64th chapter, again, showing our utter depravity. Verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our unrighteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us." It reminds me of, I heard Dr. James Dobson say one time, "There was a time when I had to just execute my free will." Well, let me tell you something, Dr. Dobson. It says here, "And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities." Verse 8, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we are the work of thy hands." All Dr. Dobson, all of your psycho garbage, all of your psychology, all of that garbage doesn't mean anything to God. The only thing that means anything to God is the fact that he is the potter, we're the clay, we're the works of his hands. All of your self-esteem, madness, all of your self-actualization, all of that stuff is just filthy rags to God, Dr. Dobson. Chapter 65. "I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought not me. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. people that provoke me to anger continually to my face, that sanctifieth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments. Which eat swine's flesh and abominable things as in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. These are smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. Verse 17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered nor come into mind. In verse 24, he kind of answers this whole free will mindset. It will come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Going on to the last chapter in Isaiah here, because I'm running over a little bit. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made. And those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Verse 22, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Isaiah is a beautiful chapter that really has us examine the glory, the majesty, the sovereignty of God in creation and salvation and redemption. And it gives us great comfort to know that our eternity is secured in Him through the righteousness of Christ, that He has put on us the breastplate of righteousness of Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with our free will. It has nothing to do with psychology, self-esteem, any of that. It has to do with what Christ has done. We're all filthy rags before God. That's why Christ came and died, i.e. the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Father, we thank you for your great majesty, your sovereignty, your glory, your work in redemption for your elect. We pray that you would drive this home to our hearts in a new way. We ask in Christ's name. We'll see you next time.